Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis C. Oji, whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
I'll be doing a short teaching by God's grace tonight. I'm trusting God that by tomorrow there's going to be an avalanche in the house. I'll be doing a short teaching tonight, but tomorrow I'm trusting there will be an avalanche. So we'll go straight to business. I'll just show you some few things tomorrow. Then I'm trusting that the move of the Spirit will be real in our midst. I want to quickly say, Pastor Mavis, I don't take this for granted. I appreciate you. You know I love you. You know. And I love your wife. I love your children. Don't say, huh? I don't love her the way he loves her. So you better define that love. She knows what I'm talking about. Amen. I love you guys. God is taking you higher and higher and higher. Amen. God bless you. Please be seated. All right. Please, can we go to Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 to 6. Now, I came with one of our pastors that lead us in church, Minister S. Peter. He's a vocalist. He's a multi-instrumentalist. Don't worry, I am gossiping about you in God's house. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 1 to 6. What a privilege to be speaking on this exalted altar. I'm trusting that I will lay a foundation that other speakers will come and shoot up from there. So I'm doing a serious job tonight. I don't know why you put me this early. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 18, verses 1 to 6. Okay, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house. What a joy we are in the Potter's Transformation Christian Center. Is it a coincidence? Happen chance? But God has something to say. So be patient, please. Let your hearts be open. I will do a little teaching here and there. But I'm trusting God will give us a punchline and then take us to the realms of His glory. Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. May somebody hear God's word tonight. And I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. He was doing a work on the wheel. I'll be talking about that in a few moments from now. And the vessel, or the clay pot, or the clay material, whatsoever he was working on, that he made was mad. The word mad means to be spoiled or to have some certain level of defect. The vessel had a problem. Suddenly, as he was working on it, it had a problem in his hand or in the hand of the potter. So he made it again. Somebody say again. Another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. Now, the narrative that we have just read is something somewhat you can call an allegory. I hope most of us did literature here. Now, okay, I will explain. An allegory simply is a narrative in which a character, a place, or an event is used to deliver a much broader message. A message that is beyond what is being communicated from that narrative. That's an allegory. Are you following what I'm saying? So God was giving a narrative about the potter and the clay. But yet God was trying to transfer or communicate an information to Israel that was much deeper than what he was describing concerning the potter and the what and the clay. Now, in this narrative, you see a juggling of both allegory and metaphors. Are you following what I'm saying? There was a lot of metaphors God was working with. Now, a metaphor is a word or a phrase to refer to something other than the literal meaning. So you are using a word, but actually the meaning is actually different because you are also trying to communicate a message. You are invoking an implicit similarity between the thing that you are describing and what you are actually using as a word. So you are using a similarity or you are bringing a contrast. Are you still following me? So God began to speak about the potter and his mission to actually make a vessel. Now, one of the things I would like you to understand about the potter and the process of making a vessel out of a clay material is that every skilled potter has a creative ingenuity. Now, that ingenuity is to make from a dry, brittle clay a masterpiece of a vessel. Every potter has skills, creative skills, to make from a clay material that is brittle. Brittle simply means something that easily breaks, not hard enough, does not have strong structure. It can break into pieces and wither off. Now, a potter has so much skill that out of that brittle dry clay, the potter can bring forth a masterpiece. Now, the reason for the masterpiece is that the masterpiece becomes a showpiece. And that showpiece from the potter is supposed to be showcased. Are you still following what I'm saying? Now, before I go a little bit deeper, you must understand that God was communicating to Israel that the same way the clay is in the hand of the potter, so Israel is to him. So I'm saying to somebody tonight, please understand that God is your potter, you are the clay. And you are a work in progress. And the desire of God is that you might become a masterpiece. A masterpiece simply means a piece of the master. In other words, God wants you to be a refined version of Jesus. He wants to bring something out of you that will look like Christ. Are you following what I'm saying? Till we all come to the full measure of the stature of Christ. So that he can showcase you to the nations. Don't think you will die in this environment. Most of us are meant for the nations. And you are going there so that you can be a showcase of God because you are a masterpiece from him. Are you still here? Matthew's Gospel chapter 5 verses 13 to 16. The Bible says you are the light of the world. You are a city set on the hill. You cannot be hidden. You will no longer be hidden. He said, no man lights a candle and puts it under a bushel, but they set it on the candlestick that it may give light to everyone in the room. He says, so let your light so shine that men may see. In other words, God wants you to be a showpiece that you can be showcased to the nations, to your family, to your community, to your society, to your campus. God wants you to be a reflection of his glory to your generation in this time and in this age. You are not a nobody. I'm sure you heard that message very clearly. You are the son of the Most High God. And you are expected to manifest his true nature. In fact, his full nature. Glory is the full manifestation of the nature of God. You carry that nature on your inside. The day you got born again, let me write a little bit on what Pastor Marvis here. The day you got born again, what actually took place was that there was an exchange of nature. Are you hearing what I'm saying? From Adam, we carried the nature of sin. When God said to Adam, the day you eat that fruit, that day you die. Physically, he was not dead, but he actually died in the realm of the spirit. Why? Because he received a nature that is contrary to the nature of the one who created him. That nature is what we call the nature of sin. It was that nature that was judged at Golgotha, at Calvary. Scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21, he said, God made Jesus, him, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. The word sin there is not an act. The word sin there is a nature. God made him to become sin, not sins in the plural, to become sin in the singular. Meaning when he hung on that cross, the nature of sin was placed on him. No wonder he cried, Eli, Eli, labak samata.
Sabachthani, meaning, my God, why have you forsaken me? For the Bible declares in Habakkuk, he said, God is of a purer eyes. He cannot behold iniquity. On that cross, Jesus was seen, so God had to move. And the Bible says the reason that exchange took place, the reason why he became a substitute for you and I, was so that we can receive the righteousness that comes from God. Because your righteousness to him is filthy rags. They cannot amount to anything. Your self-effort, your sweaty effort, your ability, your capacity, your capability cannot please God. So God had to give you of his own nature, of his own righteousness. So what you carry now is his own righteousness, which is the nature of God. That's why I tell people, Pastor Mathis, God is no more righteous than you. You didn't hear me. Let it sink. God is no more righteous than you. Because he didn't give you a subservient nature. He gave you of his very nature. He gave you his own righteousness. He didn't give you a second-rated righteousness. He gave you what he exactly had. So if he gave you what he had, you are exactly like him. God is more holier than you, but it's not more righteous than you. Holiness is a conduct. Righteousness is a nature. That is why you can never study the Bible and see anywhere in the Bible where it is written, you shall be righteous as I'm righteous. But you will see, you shall be holy as I am holy. Holiness is your lifestyle. Righteousness is your nature. The day you got born again, you became righteous. Not because of what you do, how you speak, where you go. I'm not saying that those things don't matter. They matter. But the truth about it is that you have the nature of the righteous God. Jesus calls him the righteous Father. That nature is what you carry. That is the nature that dictates that you are a saint, not a sinner. This is not my message. But I wanted to ride on it and make it sink. Are you still here? Because God wants you to be his showpiece so that he can showcase you to the nations. Are you still here? So he gave you exactly what he has. Just like he was talking about DNA. Righteousness is about DNA. Romans chapter 5 verse 17. For those who have obtained abundance of grace and of the gift, because it's a gift, you don't have it, he gave you of the gift of righteousness, they shall reign in life. You will reign. I say you will reign. Now, for God to achieve this lofty feat of making you a showpiece, just like a potter goes in search of a clay, for him to achieve this lofty feat of transforming your destiny, he must go on a search. Somebody say search. Yes, God is a searcher. In fact, God is a researcher. God always goes on what? Searches. First Chronicles, chapter 6, Second Chronicles, actually chapter 16, verses 9. He said, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. He's searching. Throughout the earth, that he may see whose heart is perfect towards him. The Bible says in Psalm 89, verse 20, he said, I have found David. It means he searched very well. He found him. Ezekiel 22 verses 30, the Bible says, and I sought from among them. God is always searching. So when a potter is about to make a clay, he goes on a search for the right clay material. Can I say something to someone today? God is browsing, he's scanning over this atmosphere. He's searching for somebody that will be open enough to receive his invitation so that they can become a showpiece for them to be showcased. Are you still here? You must understand that in your walk with the Lord, you are consistently in the process of being made, the process of being molded. You are not where you are supposed to be yet. You are not all you are supposed to be yet, but you are a work in progress. And you are supposed to be made into the fullness of Christ. Mark's Gospel 1:17, he said, come after me, I will make. That was the first thing he said to those who followed him, Christ. Come after me, I will make. He's a maker. And in 20 days of glory, somebody will be made into something outstanding that the generation around them will wonder and marvel. There are two dimensions to this making. Are we still together? I'm taking you somewhere. The first dimension, looking at the work of the potter, I'm still talking about the potter and the clay, is that the potter himself, metaphorically, symbolizes the Father God. And we symbolize the vessel the potter is working on. Now, the first level of making, or the first dimension of making, is when God seeks out his own, saves them because he already had a foreknowledge about them and he had given them a predestination. Romans chapter 8, verses 29 through to 30. He says, there for them that he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, that they might be conformed to the image of his son. So every making process of heaven is that you might be conformed into the image of the son. Can I announce to you that you were foreknown? He knew you before time. You were foreknown. The word foreknown is from two words. Before and to know. Meaning he knew you before you ever existed. Then the Bible says he predestinated you. Predestinate is from two words. Pre and destinate. The word destinate is the same word from which we get destination. Or the word to end. So he knew you before time. And then he gave you an end before time. You didn't just exist when you were born. You existed in his mind. So you are not an accident. You are not just somebody's train here and there. You were carefully, craftily, intentionally targeted to be on earth. Them that he gave an end, by giving them an end before time, he called them. The calling of God is in two dimensions. He calls you first into Christ, into the body, because your glory can never find expression outside Jesus. For he is the fullness, the effulgence of the glory of God. And then there is another calling into the specific area and the purpose of God for your life in seasons, in times, in hours, in days, in weeks, and in moments. Somebody listening to me tonight, there is a specific calling God is waiting for you to step into. And the making of your life beyond your being conformed to the fullness of Christ is also a making for you to align with that purpose of God for your life. Follow me. Those are the two dimensions of the molding. But hear this. In Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 3, we see several things at play between the potter and the vessel that he was making. And by extension, remember, between the Father God, who is your potter, and your own life in the making process. Number one, what do we see? When the potter eventually locates a clay material in his search, the clay material is in its raw state. Very raw. And when it is raw, it is usually dry. It is brittle. It looks so unmoldable and useless. Many of us can remember how we came to Christ. We were so raw. We look so useless. It's as if nothing good will come out of what we call our Nazareth. Our lives look as if it's going somewhere to be destroyed. That is how the potter locates his clay. But when the potter brings the clay into his space, he placed the clay upon the wheel. Remember that scripture in Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 3. And I saw him walking or rotting a walk, according to the old King James, on the wheels. Are you still here? Now, what is the wheel? Please follow me. I want you to capture something. The wheel is the base or the foundation upon which the potter walks. On which he walks on the clay and transforms the clay into the vessel he has originally envisioned. The clay is a foundation. The clay is a platform. The clay is a pedestal on which that vessel can be made. Many of us, as we came into Christ, because he sought us out, he has placed you on the wheel. You are on the wheel. Now, what does the wheel mean? There are two things the wheel connotes. The wheel is a foundation. So, there is only one foundation when we are in Christ, and his name is Jesus the Christ. He is also the Word of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 11, he said, there is no other foundation that anybody can lay except Christ Jesus. He is the foundation. In other words, you cannot be made aside from Christ. You can't. But there is a second dimension to that foundation. The second dimension is the issue of grace. Somebody say grace. Titus chapter 2 verses 11. Can you give us that? Titus. He said, for the grace of God has appeared to all men. What does he do? He teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we may live righteously and godly in this present world. In other words, when we speak about grace, grace is not what a lot of people think out there. Grace is not licentious. Grace comes to teach right living. Grace comes to teach right behavior. Doing it right according to God's way. But do you know that this teaching of living right is actually a foundation? 2 Timothy chapter 2 verses 19. The Bible declares, see that for me. 2 Timothy. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Look at the next phrase. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from what? From iniquity. It means that when you are sought out by God, he places you on the foundation of grace that has the capacity to keep you away from iniquity. It does not take you to iniquity. It takes you away from iniquity. When you have a true revelation of grace, iniquity will not be an option. Because grace speaks about the ever abounding. We sang the song. The ever what? Overwhelming love of God. It's grace that tells us how wide that love is. When you catch a revelation of that, sin is not an option. In fact, you cannot see yourself at that level. Because you've caught a revelation of what? Of grace. Now, after the foundation of the wheel, the potter goes ahead to put the wheel in motion. Have you ever seen a potter work before? The wheel begins to circulate. The wheel goes into motion. And then as the wheel goes into motion, the potter begins to add water. Little water here and there. And then the brittle clay that was brittle and easily broken becomes moistured and then begins to get soft. Now, the water is symbolic of God's word. Ephesians 5:26, for Christ will cleanse his bride by the washing of the water by the word. So when you come into his house, he begins a process of cleansing, of softening the areas of your heart that has become hardened. The word of God is God's material to transform lives and transform destiny. And as you sit in these 20 days of glory, I see the light of God's word bringing about a transformation to your life, to your family, to your education, to your career, to your marital life. I see a transformation that will make you a showpiece so that you can be showcased. Psalm 119 verses 9. How can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to your word. Verse 11 says, your word have I hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you. The word of God is the only material that God has. He has other material that transforms life. So the potter begins to apply water. Now the motion of the wheel and the moisture of the water softens the clay. To a point that the potter can now begin to mold it into the desired shape. The word begins to soften your life. Some of us have been on that road before. There are things that you were known for. There were things that you were accustomed to. But as the word of God kept on coming in Potter's Transformational Christian Center, you began to see that those areas of your life are beginning to change. You are transforming. You are operating on what I call metamorphosis. You are going from one level of glory onto another level of glory. Glory is not only in you receiving a testimony of material things. Glory is in you revealing your true nature. Ayagadaba. That's glory. That's glory. When I begin to see that your emotional life has become tempered like that of Christ, that is glory. You do not shout the way you shout before. That is glory. You are now more patient with people. You are more tolerant with their behaviors and their mistakes. That is glory. The potter begins to walk as the wheels are in motion and the moisture is increased. The clay material that was brittle and hard begins to get softened, stage by stage. Now you must understand that God's making tool is the word of God forever. So our willingness to always yield absolutely to the word when it is revealed will determine the swiftness of our transformation. When you are easily open to God's word, your transformation is fast. Ezekiel chapter 2 verses 2. And the, what? The word entered into me as he spake to me and he put me on my feet. You cannot receive the word and retain the same shape. You cannot receive the word and retain the same shape. The word of the Lord when revealed, either as a written word, a rhema word, a prophetic word. The reason why I'm not explaining some things is because I know Pastor Mavis has taught these things very well. Either it is received as an instruction, it's received as a dream, a vision. It has the capacity to always bring us face to face with the contradictions of life. The contradictions of life that is as a result of the motions of sin in our members. You need to understand that when the old man, which is the nature I talked about, was exchanged for the righteousness of God, because of his presence in the body and his effect on the soul, he left remnant of his effect there. That is why scriptures never gave you an instruction of what to do to the spirit, because the spirit is eternally saved. But the scriptures told you that you renew your mind and then mortify the body. Why? Because they are not saved. They are being saved. Oh, you are not hearing what I'm saying. They are not saved. They are being what? Saved. So the wheel and the water, hear this, therefore are symbolic of the daily challenges and the change that you encounter as a result of the motion of sin in your members. And also, as a result of the contradictions that life will haul at you. Every time you come face to face with challenges in life, there will be a reaction. Now the word of God will come at that moment to give you a chance to make a decision. Will you follow the ways of the spirit or will you give in to the flesh? It's at that point that your making is in question. Wherever you tilt will determine whether you manifest glory or you remain the way you are. For Paul said in Galatians chapter 5 verse 16, walk ye therefore in the spirit, for you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And both of these are contrary, that you may not be able to do the things you would. So the making process is a daily thing. That was why Paul said, I die daily. Every day I'm dying. I'm dying to what? I'm dying to the desires of the motions of the flesh in my members. Because there was a time he knew how these motions corrupted his life. The things I know to do that is good, I cannot do. The things I do not want to do, that is what I do. Until the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus intercepted him. Every day you come in face to face with such challenges, you are made to make a decision. That is where your molding process starts. The more you yield to the Spirit, the more there is a release of the glory. The more you yield to the Spirit, the more there is a release of the glory. When Jesus says, not my will, but thy will be done, it was bound that glory must show. For he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Philippians chapter 2. But he made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant. And he became obedient and humbled himself to the point of death. Therefore God also has highly exalted him, glory. And given him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Of things in heaven, of things on earth, and of things under the earth. Why? He yielded to the Spirit and not to his flesh. Also, I've discovered in my research of the potter and the clay, beyond what happens on the wheel, when the wheel is in motion and the moisture is dropping, I discovered that every potter, as he begins to make the clay, he uses both hands. The right hand stays outside the vessel, but the left hand stays in the vessel. If the right hand, hear me very well, exerts more pressure on the vessel than the left hand that is inside the vessel, that vessel, that clay vessel, will rise and then fall. It will rise and collapse like a pack of cards. And then the potter has to start all over again. But if the left hand exerts more pressure than the right hand, the vessel will be developed into its full shape just in a matter of time. What does that connote? That simply means your molding to become the full effulgence of the glory of God has to do with two major things: external forces and internal forces. The one you allow will determine whether you become what God has asked you to be, or you are on the line for a long time. Most of the time, we are being buffeted by the opinions of men, by the traditions of men, by the things that men threw against us. We are being buffeted by temptations. Things around us are calling for our attention. Everywhere you turn, there is something scratching to get your attention away from God. If you will listen to them, you will remain the way you are. But if you are wise enough, I want you to take time and reach deep inside your spirit for the yelling, for the calling, for the urgency of the Spirit, crying that you may submit, crying that you may come away with him, crying that you may maintain an intimacy with the Holy Ghost. The more intimacy you have with him, the more you begin to manifest the glory. The more intimate you are with him, the more you begin to express the beauty and the honor. These two things are contrary to themselves, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these two things are contrary. Can I ask somebody here today? This is the beginning. That's why I'm laying this foundation. What are you yielding to? What is catching your attention? God wants himself to be your greatest attraction and your only admiration. He wants to be the one that sits in your heart. The more you latch to him, the more you become like him. Even in this world, you are like him. Because he made you in his image and his likeness. And beyond that, you carry his life. But he wants your life physically to begin to radiate his glory. So that everywhere you step into, the atmosphere will change. I will talk about that tomorrow. Is somebody still here? So as the potter begins to walk, he begins to mold. He begins to exert more pressure from the inside. And then from the outside, we discover that it gets to a point. Now hear me. Follow me carefully now. Don't lose yourself. It gets to a point, the Bible declares in verse 4 of Jeremiah chapter 18, that as he continually walked, he has put in so much labor. He has put in so much investment. But it got to a point in the process of making. The Bible says the vessel was marred. The vessel was marred. The vessel was spoiled. There was a defect. There was a problem. I don't know who I'm talking to today. There is something in your life you can't explain. We have talked about that when Pastor Mavis came in. But listen to me. There's something about you you can't explain. You prayed. You've done all you need to do. And you can't explain. And you're asking God, why? Why am I like this? Why am I hitting a brick wall every time I try to confront this thing? There is a defect. There is a madness in your life. You can't explain it. But the beauty of Jeremiah 18 verse 4 was that the madness in the vessel still was, that the vessel was still in his hands. The vessel was spoiled, but it was not spoiled outside his hand. The vessel had a problem, but it was still in his hands. The vessel had an issue, but it was in his hands. Can I tell somebody here? It seems as if you are losing your mind, but you are still in his hands. It seems as if you've been ostracized, but you are in his hand. Your family has a huge problem, a debt you cannot pay. The truth about it is that no matter the contradiction, you are still in his hands. Can I tell you, this must have been Jesus' understanding. Because he was the Son of Man, being the Son of God, having a clear revelation of who his Father was. He knew that he was in his Father's hand. He was the apple of his Father's eyes. He was the love of his Father's life. So when they were on the high sea, and it seems as if the water was going to break into the boat, Jesus did not panic like the rest. He took a corner and he slept off. He slept so soundly that they had to come and wake him. If somebody was not sleeping that long, nobody would have to wake him. They were already shouting, doing all kinds of things. But because Jesus was enjoying his sleep, they had to wake him. Master, don't you care that we perish? Hear me, Son of God. Hear me, child of God. No matter what you are going through, you are still in his hands. You are in his hands. Stop fretting. Stop worrying. Take off the anxiety. Remove the excessive fret in your life. You are in his hands. I don't care the medical reports. You are in his hands. I don't care the dream you had last night. You are in his hands. You see, this mentality alone will put the devil off you. It creates a level of boldness, confidence. You become audacious. I am in his hands. They said I failed that last course, but I'm in his hands. Oh, somebody's not hearing me tonight. I am in his hands. Can you tell 2-3 people? You are in his hands. 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 Ya 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 borosa. Eketelelelebosha. Emrakatale mama mama rokosia daba. Emanakata. In Toria Galira Makilo Vinato, Eradu Mekelia, Azazaza Minokovo, Erabaya, Mama, 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 Robosa, Ekotondo Koparagada, Ekotondo Kopa, Eshadabayabaya. I sense something is breaking forth. I said something is breaking forth. I said something is breaking forth tonight. Ayata! Ekatatatatatata. Ekotodododododododododo. Mama, 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 robo. Ayayayayayayaya. Eboro, mama, malioro. Ela, ela, ah, ela, ela, ah. If you are here, you are about to give up. You are here, you are about to give up. Put your two hands on your head. Put your two hands on your head. You are in his hands. 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 Ayagada. There is a breaking forth tonight. I have a lot to say, but I believe God is doing something in the hearts of the people. Ayagada baye. Mama rokoso. Elabara, 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 elabara. Somebody tell him, I embrace your work. I embrace your work. I embrace. Hey.
favor with God.
Listen, listen, as I close tonight, listen. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. But the truth is that with you also, if you can believe tonight, nothing can ever be impossible. Mark's Gospel chapter 9 verse 23. If thou canst believe, nothing shall be impossible. Chronicles chapter 32 verses 17. Our Lord God, thou hast made the heavens with thy outstretched arm and your mighty power, and there is nothing too hard. Verse 27 says, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. There is nothing too hard for me to do. Can you lift up your two hands to heaven? Now hear this. Hear this. I am rounding up now. Hear this. The vessel was in his hands. Because it was in his hands, that vessel had the rare opportunity to experience a restoration. He says, and he made it again. The picture of your life is not the last man we see. What they are seeing now is transient. You are only passing through. It's not your parking space. You are about to emerge. Can you believe tonight? Whatever is a negative narration of your life, heaven is about to rewrite it. Heaven is about to rewrite it. Heaven is about to rewrite it. Heaven is about to rewrite. He made it again. Again. For he is the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's still the same yesterday. You don't serve a dead God. You serve a living God. He's indeed the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the umpire in the game of life. Nothing is over until you win. Nothing is over until it is over. Can I talk to you? It is not over yet for you. Lift up your hands. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Arakomina kovalata. Zelokotonde kaparagabiatata. Etonde kakakurumanata. Zirusha, zirusha, zirusha. Iflendo kapati zozone kapala. Eskobalata kata. Eskobalakatata. Arakanda kapariasasa. Eragodia kasa. Hear this. I just saw, like in a vision, a veil was taken over somebody, off somebody's head. There is an unveiling. Somebody is suddenly about to see the uniqueness of your life they never saw before. Because until people capture your value, they don't give you value. But in the seasons to come, out of the 20 days of glory, God is about to put value on your life. Listen, not because you don't have value, but because you have not known your value. It has been covered from your spiritual eyes. But from this particular conference, your value shall emerge. It shall emerge. It shall emerge. It shall emerge. Lift those two hands up. I declare from today, you will not go down. I say you will not go down. For the Lord will open his good treasure. The heaven that gives the rain, which is his divine empowerment to prosper. That divine empowerment actually is the anointing, which is an aura that comes out of the glory. I will talk about that tomorrow. He says that you will lend to many nations. You will not borrow. Because he will make you the head. You will not be the tail. After tonight, there shall be relocations to the right places. I hear interpreters of vision. Hear me and hear me well. Your glory is encapsulated in the vision and the purpose of God for your life. When your purpose is unveiled, your glory manifests. The reason why many people are operating under the level of the glory of God for their life, it's because they do not understand what God is showing them. I prophesy, starting from tonight, interpreters of vision from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west. Look at you now. 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 It is settled. My time is come. Please, tonight, if you are here, you are not born again. Your glory begins from being born again. There is nothing like manifesting the glory of the Lord, because you are not part of his family. He doesn't know you. He cannot share his glory with you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus says, the glory you gave me, I have given it to them. So, for you to get the glory of God, you must be connected to Jesus. Outside Jesus, no glory. You know the end result? Shame. You have not officially said, Jesus, be my Lord. I want to beg you. Wherever you are tonight, lift up your right hand. Thank you. I can see hands up there. I love you guys. Please come and meet me. Come and meet me. I did this in 1989. Some people are not born here. 1989. And I have not regretted it one day, man. One day, I have not. 1989. In 1989, I was plagued with masturbation. I masturbated like water, because I was wrongly connected to association that corrupted my life. I went in search of a friend that was watching X-rated movies. I walked into a trap Satan perfectly orchestrated. I was naive and I didn't understand anything about life. On entering the room and seeing that image, I first collapsed, because I've not seen that kind of thing in my life. But leaving that place, images began to work in my mind. Satan is skilled in enforcing strongholds in the minds of men, that he may create a certain level of dominance and control in their lives. And you must understand that your mental picture that is rooted in your subconscious determines the course of your life. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of them are the issues of life. One translation says, out of them proceed the things that control your life. One translation says, the thoughts that come there are the things that determine the direction of your destiny. You will always end up in the strongholds Satan has carefully planted in your life. Some of us, our strongholds are issues of culture and background. But when you refuse to come out of your background, your back will not leave the ground. Culture is very strong. Message translation of Romans chapter 12, the second verse in the King James says, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Message says, be careful. I'm trying to craft it exactly, but if you have it, you can give me. It's very, very powerful. Give me, because I want to get the way it is. Listen to what the message says. Look at the don't become well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. What Satan does is that he allows your culture to inform you over time. Then he uses that information to create a strong goal, particularly in an area called your subconscious mind. Because in your own consciousness, you will not naturally think some things. But most of us, most times, over 50%, we operate from subconscious mind. Sorry, I'm going to pray with you now, but I want to share this. We operate from the subconscious mind. When you are driving, and you have mastered it, it's from your subconscious you drive. It's once in a while your consciousness will come in. But when you start driving, you and the steering will be going in the same direction. But the moment you master it, you are driving, you are taking ice cream, you are answering a call, you are talking to your child, you are doing one thing or the other, yet you are driving and you do not miss your way because it's from your subconscious mind. Satan over time programs your subconscious mind from when you are young, from the time of your formative years. He now creates a stronghold. A stronghold is a fortress, like a tower. Towers, when you watch films, are impenetrable. The enemy's army cannot get you. That's what the enemy builds in people's minds. The moment that one is established, as the word of God is coming, it will be bouncing off if you don't properly capture it. That's why the Bible says, casting down imagination and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. He does not allow that knowledge to stick because there is a stronghold. Tonight, Karima Nakosa, because your glory must shoot, I want to pray for my apostolic grace. Lift up your two hands. Every evil stronghold that has taken root in your heart, contrary to God's knowledge, against His purpose, His counsel for your life, for your family, for your marriage, for your destiny, I command today, let them crash. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hear me here. Look at me. It's the first step. Jesus wants to walk into you. The moment He takes His place, glory has come. The truth is that if this is what you get, though I know you will get more than this in this conference, you must keep coming. But truly, if this is what you get in the 20 days of glory, it is actually enough. You only need to build on it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Lift your two hands to heaven. Say with me, Lord Jesus, the glory of the Father. I come to you tonight as a sinner. But tonight, refuse to remain a sinner. I believe in my heart that you died for my sins and you rose again for my justification. Therefore, right now, Jesus, the Son of the living God, I accept you into my life as my Lord and my Savior. I will serve you all the days of my life. From this moment, I am now a child of God. I am born again. And I will serve you all the days of my life. I'm going to pray with you. Father, I ask that based on the confession of the amount and the faith that they have used in receiving this word, I declare that their sins are forgiven. I declare that the new life of God becomes domiciled on their inside. Holy Spirit, begin to work from inside out. Let there be transformation. I know some might have come out because they have been walking outside your will, even though they have accepted you. I'm asking that tonight, that there will be more administration of grace upon their life to walk in the paths of righteousness. I call it done. I call it done. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Lift up your hands, everyone. I declare everything concerning your life from tonight that needs to become an expression of the glory of God. Your health, your finances, your relationship that is being challenged as I speak right now. I command that every limitation over them is lifted. And I command, starting from tonight, let there be an excellent report of the goodness of God in that area. I release you. Go forth and shine the glory of God. Go and shine the glory of God. Go and shine the glory of God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of this life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.